obedient to the Father, you were led to your crucifixion like a gentle lamb to the slaughter.
Glory to you, Lord of God, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you,
Lord. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his dish into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." He answered, "You have said so." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary.
Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Because it's a Wednesday, I'd like to pray the Litany of St. Joseph. I realize you may not have a copy in your hands. We got a new supply of these, Help Yourself. And we got 1,000 of them, so we put out maybe 100 or whatever. But I'll guide you along the way if you don't have one in hand. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Noble offspring of David,
pray for us.
Light of patriarchs,
pray for us.
Spouse of the Mother of God,
pray for us.
Chaste guardian of the Virgin,
pray for us.
Foster father of the Son of God,
pray for us.
Zealous defender of Christ,
pray for us.
Head of the Holy Family,
pray for us.
Joseph most just,
pray for us.
Joseph most chaste,
pray for us.
Joseph most prudent,
pray for us.
Joseph most courageous,
pray for us.
Joseph most obedient,
pray for us.
Joseph most faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of patience,
pray for us.
Lover of poverty,
pray for us.
Model of workmen,
pray for us.
Glory of domestic life,
pray for us.
Guardian of virgins,
pray for us.
Pillar of families,
pray for us.
Comfort of the afflicted,
pray for us.
Hope of the sick,
pray for us.
Patron of the dying,
pray for us.
Terror of demons,
pray for us.
Protector of the Holy Church,
pray for us.
Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world,
save us, O Lord.
Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world,
gracious to us, O Lord.
Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
He has made him Lord of his household,
and Prince over all his possessions.
Let us
the favor of having him for our intercessor in heaven, whom on earth we venerate as our protector. You live and reign forever and ever. Amen.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And you know, you might pick one title and one aspect of this beautiful litany and meditate on it, either for yourself or someone you're praying for, especially our Christian men. We certainly need all these prayers in St. Joseph this year. Here we hear of these readings are so rich. I was just thinking, gosh, the deep state existed in the time of Jesus among the 12. And only for 30 silver pieces. I don't recall or know what that amounted to. Like, what would that be in dollars today? But it doesn't sound like a lot. It was the price of a slave, essentially. Remember Joseph in the Old Testament? He sold for 20 silver pieces, kind of prophetic indication of what would happen to Jesus. And so, selling out the Savior on this Spy Wednesday. I'd like to, since this is Lent's last Mass, I'd like to do a little review of the Triduum. Not the Triduum, the Triduum. And just kind of get a grasp of these high holy days, these sacred, most sacred days of our liturgical year. The Triduum begins tomorrow night with the Mass of the Lord's Supper, the foot washing, the institution of the Eucharist, the institution of the priesthood, all of that in one sitting. You know, what a holy time it is for us. The Triduum is really considered a 70-hour worship service with a few breaks, beginning on Holy Thursday, and then Good Friday, and leading up to Holy Saturday and the Vigil. So it's kind of like, you know, different acts of one drama. And the Triduum, it means 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But remember, Friday begins Thursday night, Holy Thursday, because how the Jews calculate the day, it's always the night before. And so Sunday really begins with the Easter Vigil, the holiest, most ancient, I would say most beautiful liturgy of the church here, at least in the Latin Rite. It's really, really beautiful. It's one celebration in three movements. You know, I know now with COVID, things are all a little wacky. But in general, we encourage people to try to participate in these sacred liturgies if you can, because they transform and educate at the same time. Liturgy is the first theology, and it forms us as Catholics to understand, but most importantly, enter into the mystery of Christ, the Paschal mystery of Christ. And he, you know, the mysteries of Christ live in us, the mystical body, and you as members of the mystical body. That's why when you attend church throughout the whole church year, and even go to the holy days of obligation that sometimes are skipped or missed by Catholics, we lose our not just liturgical formation, but mystical formation into being formed into Jesus. His mysteries live in us, just as he continues his passion in the suffering of Christians in the mystical body. So the Triduum is the liturgical apex of the church year. As one of the church documents says, the Easter Triduum of the Passion and Resurrection of Christ is a culmination of the entire liturgical year. And every Sunday is a little Easter. Every Sunday is a little Easter. It is the kernel of the liturgical year, and it's, of course, the first day of each week. You know, so just learning these things and letting them be part of how you breathe, how you look at the world, is really important, because I think reality is liturgical. Heaven, you know, look at how many significant secular events happen on Catholic feast days that only Catholics understand because they know the feast. But when you look at things, certainly church documents, but other things, they happen often on feast days, and then you realize heaven is directing things even when bad things happen. You know, so just something to think about. Today we hear of Judas's treachery, and you know, big sins don't happen unless little sins generally precede them, right? It's bad practices, selfishness, laziness, done many times in small ways, it leads to bigger sins. And so Judas didn't just become, you know, a treacherous person right away, but it was probably preceded by a lot of little sins and kind of an attitude of arrogance that he knew better than Jesus even, and probably had contempt for those other apostles, a lot of whom were fishermen, they were from Galilee. You know, he was the one guy from Jerusalem, you know, Washington, D.C. And he got it. He got it. The others, they're just kind of hicks. You know, maybe the lower middle class, you know, fishermen. Fishermen weren't the poorest. It was a middle class industry. You know, you have employees. But they weren't smart like Judas was. Judas was like a secularist in many ways. He saw Jesus' miracles. He saw Jesus' love. But he was always calculating everything in terms of worldly kingdom advancement and making a profit, kind of how he could use Jesus, perhaps, if this is what, you know, we're not totally sure, but how he could use Jesus for his big scheme. Judas loved money, as is said of the Pharisees in Luke's gospel. Jesus, then, was the perfect gold mine. He could bring in money by the bucket loads. So if you've got an ambitious guy, as Judas was, Jesus is a cash cow. Wow, you know, this is great. Along with that comes, as I mentioned, probably contempt for the other disciples. Judas thought, these hicks, these fishermen apostles, don't see possibilities. I can charge money for healings. This outfit needs class. It's too shabby. You know, that kind of thinking, whether exactly that was the case. And so he thought he could cleverly collude with the establishment. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. It should. To reach his worldly goals. Remember, most Jews had the conception of reviving the kingdom of David, but it would be a world empire. You know, and so Judas is thinking, kind of like the Chinese, let's conquer the world, right? Let's have world dominion. I mean, don't think all this stuff is new. Satan recycles his ideas, right? He's really into recycling. And so Judas saw these possibilities, and he was probably always scheming for how to use Jesus for even a bigger purpose. Little did he realize, Jesus had it all calculated. Jesus had foreknowledge. He knew what was going to happen. He didn't go to his death out of circumstances, but because he freely chose that. Knowing how you're going to suffer makes it even worse. Jesus knew his whole life he would suffer terribly, not just in the garden. So he had to carry that burden with him. Our Blessed Mother, when she presented Jesus in the temple, was told by Simeon, that a sword would pierce her heart. She had to carry that sorrow all her life long, that weight. So when you do that, and you know the sufferings that are coming, and Jesus had perfect foreknowledge, it would be even more painful. That's how much love he had for us. If you don't see something, you know how, like, I'm sure you've had a cut or whatever, you were injured and you didn't even know it? You know, like one time I had an X-Acto go right into my finger, and it was hanging like this, an X-Acto knife. I didn't even feel that. I didn't even know it. But later during Mass, this fairly small prick, I was thinking, gosh, what suffering Jesus had when he had much more than an X-Acto knife, huge nails. And I actually, like, it affected me emotionally. But a lot of times, we get injured, we don't even realize that Jesus knew exactly what was coming. That's why he shed blood in the garden. But he carried that knowledge all his life long. Which means he suffered Calvary all of his life before he ever even got there. That's how much love he had for us. But a greater suffering than that happened to Jesus. That Judas refused all of his attempts of love to reach out to him. It broke his heart. Judas, one of the inner 12, who should know better, he saw virtually all the miracles. He saw Jesus do things that humans didn't think were possible, raising Lazarus. you know, and other, Jairus' daughter, walking on water. I mean, my gosh, a front row seat. And his heart just could not be penetrated. That must have broken Jesus' heart. And that's when he kept trying, even until the very end. If you were at Mass yesterday, Master, who is the one that will betray you? The one in whom I give, you know, the morsel that I dip the dish into. That was really a last attempt of love on Jesus' part. No effect. Judas was already had his plans. Nothing was going to deter him from setting the deep state of devotion. And on he went. So it's sad, but we can resist grace. We can be so close to Christ and so far away from him. We can be adoring Jesus on the altar and still thinking how I'm going to have revenge on someone who hurt me. You know, I mean, we do it too in our own ways. And so I think we have to recognize that without humility, which means being open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, we just will never go forward in the spiritual life and never become like Jesus. Judas never got it. That is a frightening prospect. Do you think there are priests and bishops who never get it? Perhaps. They make a career out of church, but not a ministry and a vocation. It can happen. Maybe it started that way, and it became corrupted. Tomorrow we remember the priesthood, the Eucharist, but in a special way the priesthood. When Jesus said, "Do this in memory of me," the church teaches, the Council of Trent, that he instantaneously and automatically made priests out of the apostles. And, you know, some can start well and fall from grace. So we got to pray for our priests, our bishops, our pope. We got to pray for all of them, our deacons, you know, the whole nine yards. Because some of us can lose sight of maybe the noble inspiration that began a vocation and then it becomes corrupted along the way. It's never too late for conversion. So pray for your priests, your shepherds, your leaders. And we can be blinded by ambition and the devil's scheming. You know, after, again, yesterday's gospel, after Jesus gave the morsel, that's when it said Satan entered Judas's heart, after he got the morsel. And then he went out and said it was night. This is John's gospel. It was night. You know, Judas was in total darkness, spiritual darkness. We know the devil is attacking the church. And there'll come a point perhaps where the church seems like it will be destroyed. And it may not be that far down the road. Well, we can be a Judas and not repent. Well, we can be like the apostles and though we're sinners, we repent. Even if we've run away from Jesus. Or like Peter, less than 24 hours after the Last Supper, he denied his Lord. The first pope did that. Imagine that. And yet, Jesus' mercy is there, and he will rebuild his church no matter what we do, but we have to repent and be humble. So brothers and sisters, The sacramental Last Supper will be on this holy altar. I'm a sinner, and I'm happy and quick to confess it. Sometimes even in the confessional, you know, I can snap at people or whatever. You know, I want to get all the confessions in before Mass. Pope Francis called it the sin of efficiency. Sometimes we can be so efficient that we're not always quite as gentle and kind as we should be. So I'm a sinner as much or more than anybody, so I need your prayers too. But let's pray for our priests. Let's receive Jesus with humble, grateful devotion and pray that he strengthen his church and make it holy and beautiful because it is his bride. And so, holy apostles and Saint Joseph, pray for us.